Pippa Hudson. Lines are always open on 021-446-0567.
Well, the pack of cards was shuffled again this morning for the second time this year, the president announcing six changes in his cabinet. The previous time, of course, the midnight axing of five ministers in May this year, which included the shock exit of Pravin Gordhan. We've got our parliamentary correspondent, Gay Davis, on the line from Parliament to give us a little bit more insight into who's in, who's moved, who's out, and for me, quite tellingly, who isn't there. Gay, thank you so much for joining us and welcome to the show.
Always a pleasure, Pippa.
Let's start just by briefly recapping who is in and who is out. Run us through the list of new names.
Yeah, well, look, I think the main casualty, obviously, is the Higher Education and Training Minister, Blade Nzimande. Also, the SACP Secretary General, and we know that the SACP has been extremely vocal and highly critical of state capture and of the president. So we were expecting action against Blade Nzimande. And in getting rid of Nzimande, President Zuma has now repositioned several of his ministers and brought a new person, an ANC MP, Bongani Bongo, into his cabinet. So let's just go through those names. Hlengiwe Mkhize, who was Home Affairs Minister, now moves to take over higher education and training. And Buti Manamela, who was the Deputy Minister in the Presidency under Jeff Khadebe, who's the Minister of Planning and Monitoring and Evaluation, moved sideways as her Deputy Minister of Higher Education and Training. Then to fill the gap in Home Affairs left by Mkhize, we have Ayanda Dlodlo giving up her communications portfolio. She takes over Home Affairs. And Mameloko Kubai, the Energy Minister, she now takes over communications. And we have David Mahlobo, the State Security Minister, moving to take over that energy portfolio. And then we have the ANC MP. He's an advocate, comes from Mpumalanga, Bongani Bongo. He is a Zuma loyalist, judged by what he's had to say in the National Assembly and on the committees that he served on. He becomes the country's new State Security Minister. No ministerial experience whatsoever, which raises a question mark over the motives for this move. One, clearly, to get rid of Blade Nzimande, because he's now been shown the door pretty much as the former finance minister, Pravin Gordhan, his deputy, Mkabisi Jonas, and the tourism minister, Derek Harnwicombe, were all shown the door in the last cabinet reshuffle by Zuma, that very late night one, Pippa, at the end of March.
Okay. Lots of follow-up questions, Gay. Obviously, Blade, the key factor here, this is without doubt punishment for his criticism, punishment for the SACP saying it's going to go it alone in the next elections, and for that vocal criticism, as you've said. A couple of other interesting things that stand out for me. I mean, the move in higher education, partly about getting rid of Blade, but it's a crucial time at which we haven't yet heard government statements on fee increases for tertiary institutions next year. There's quite a lot of really crucial stuff expected from that department in the coming weeks and months. Is Hlengiwe Mkhize up to the job?
Hlengiwe Mkhize, I think, is a competent person, but I think that it's a tough ask for a minister who has had to spend the past nearly 7 months grappling to come to terms with a complex portfolio like Home Affairs, now suddenly to be thrown into the fat, if you like, from the frying pan of higher education and training. We know that the president has received the report of the Commission of Inquiry into the feasibility of free tertiary education by the retired Judge Hare. That's not seen the light of day yet. It's highly unlikely that Judge Hare's found that it's possible for the government to award no fee increases and to allow for free education given the state of the fiscus and the economy. So she's going to have to negotiate all of that. And we also have communications is also a critical portfolio. Mameloko Kubai does have communications background and did chair the Posts and Telecommunications Portfolio Committee in Parliament. So she's not a stranger to that territory. But we've got the SABC in dire straits. And the other thing President Zuma managed to do this morning was to sign off on the new members of the SABC board. So he's had a busy few hours today. But nevertheless, the SABC is far from being anywhere near on track. But I think that the big move really is David Mashlobo, state security minister, becoming the energy minister, because we know that the nuclear deal, that the president is absolutely adamant that this go ahead. And I imagine that he feels the clock is ticking and that he's got to get this thing moving before he leaves as the country's president. He's faced with the December elective conference of the ANC, uncertainty still about who is going to succeed him as president and whether he'll have a soft landing in the form of his Nkosazana Dlamini Zuma, who we're not supposed to say is his former wife, but I believe is a relevant piece of information. And the thing is that that's the other thing, is that there was speculation when she was sworn as an MP last month that she would be bound to get a cabinet post.
Yes.
But that's not happened. Buti Manamela obviously takes up the deputy minister's post in higher education training, which was vacated by Nduduzi Manana when he resigned in the wake of the assault that he admitted to of the women at the Sandton Hotel. And we I had a brief discussion with Zwelinzima Vavi Pippa, who's here. Mm-hmm. He's the General Secretary of the New Trades Union Federation, SAFTU. He's here to listen to what the PIC is saying to the Standing Committee on Finance, because there's union concern that the 1.8 trillion or more in assets that it manages, of which the bulk are government pensions, pensions for teachers, nurses, policemen and women, civil servants pensions. Mm-hmm. There's massive concern among the unions that these assets are going to be used to prop up ailing parastatals like SAA, for example, where there's no clear possibility that there will be a return on that investment. He had a couple of things to say to me, Vavi, basically that this is all about Zuma moving now against the clock to sew up the state, and that this this reshuffle was dreamed up in Sachsenwald, and that it has nothing to do with any consideration on the part of the president for the interests of either the government or the country's people.
Gay, one last question. You've already alluded to the one glaring omission from this list of new positions, and that is Nkosazana Dlamini Zuma. Everybody was expecting that she would be a shoo-in for cabinet whether if there were to be a reshuffle. What do you make of the fact that she's not there?
Pippa, I wasn't among those who believed that she would automatically be given a cabinet position, because she's got a very long and hard row to hoe up until the December conference of the ANC. And she needs to be on the ground. She needs to be talking to branches. She needs to be persuading people that she's the person to back for the presidency of the ANC. And if she were to have been given a portfolio, it would have been difficult to pick one that would have been tame enough for her to manage a massive campaign on the ground while at the same time meeting her obligations as a Minister of State. So I didn't see her as automatically lined up to take over a very big portfolio with its own demands, which would have prevented her from having the time available to her to go and campaign. Instead, what it did do by coming to Parliament, I mean, she's been assured now of a salary because she had no longer got her position at the African Union, where she was the chair of its commission. And so she needed a job, essentially, and she's got one. But you never know with the president, so I don't want to take any bets on this.